So let's get started. The first thing I want to say to every leader, and by the way, can you look at someone around you and say you are a leader? Maybe you should help the person say, hi, leader. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I'm glad that Pastor John began by letting you know that you don't necessarily have to occupy a position in an organization to be a leader. In fact, positional leadership is the lowest form of leadership. Meaning you don't need to have position to exercise influence. I'm saying that again. You don't need to have position to exercise influence. And I'm going to be touching on that subsequently. You're going to see the different forms of power, different form of position. For instance, positional power is what we call positional authority. There's what we call knowledge power. There are different kinds of power that people have. And it's critical for you to know that you don't need to have a position in order to exercise influence. In fact, some of the most influential people in this world don't occupy any position in their country. They command what we call star power. Jay-Z has a followership that will stagger anybody. He is not a senator. He is not a governor. He is not a prime minister. But there are people that if Jay-Z say we go left, they go left. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's called influence. The unfortunate part is that we even have parents who don't have influence over their kids. They say they are going right, the kids say they are going. So you don't even have influence at home. It's so bad. Praise God. So today I want to talk to you about the next few weeks, by the grace of God, we're going to be dealing with this whole concept on leadership. Once again, I want you to say, I'm a leader. No, say like you really mean it. Say, I'm a leader. Why do I say you're a leader? You have influence. God never created anybody without influence. Please, I'm going to be saying a lot of things, so you have to take notes. Is that okay? God never created one person on earth without influence. Every person created by God was created with certain level of influence. The beautiful thing about the influence you possess is that it can grow. If anybody has never told you that, that's what I want to tell you today. Influence can grow. I want to say that again to you. Influence can grow. You can grow your influence level. It's amazing. You can grow your... I'm sure that's going to be one of the most revolutionary statements some of you are hearing for the first time. You can literally grow your influence level. There was a time when the people that followed you were inside your household. After a while, you find people from community are following you. Before you know a city, you're having followership from the city. You can have a situation whereby later across the nation, you're having people following you. And then before you know it, it's becoming a global thing where you're commanding followership across the nations. Please, I'm not talking about those who press like on your Instagram. You are not a leader because you have 20 million people on your Instagram page. You are a leader if you tell them that tomorrow, guys, we are all putting on black and every person on your Instagram page chooses to go black. Then you are a leader. So some are fooled by the number of people they have on Instagram page and Facebook to think that I am a leader because I have all those people like me. No. And then you have those who are not even on Instagram. When they turn left, everybody turns left. There's something about a man called Peter. The Bible says when Jesus died, Peter just said to himself, he said, you know what? I'm going back to fish. And shockingly, the Bible says that all the disciples say, we're going with you. What do you call that? I'm not hearing you. What do you call that? Influence. It's called leadership. It's called leadership. If you decide to take a decision today, the question is who's going to follow you? The time has come for you to consciously begin to live your life in such a way that you focus on becoming a person of influence, not just a person of existence. And I'm going to be talking with you as one of your brothers. I am not there yet, but I can tell you that I am no longer at the level of influence I was at when I started my journey. I have literally watched God grow my influence. Do you understand that? And I can tell you that it is not accidental growth. So I can tell you how it got to where I am. And I can tell you that I also know what it will take for it to go to the next level beyond where I am right now. So the first thing I mentioned to you is that influence can grow. I mean, first thing is that you have influence. Second thing is that it can grow. You can grow your influence. And those are the things that we're going to be dealing with in the course of our studies together. The course overview, materials are going to be sent to you. I think they should have been sent by now to your WhatsApp page. I will get the word. It's been sent? It's been sent. Okay. So don't worry, you take notes. But by the end of today, you're going to have my lesson note on your WhatsApp, page. How many of you are on WhatsApp here? Wave your hands like you are New Testament. Okay. If you are not on WhatsApp, I was not too before. Sir? Emails? Well, you drop your emails, they will send it to you either by emails or WhatsApp. But the first thing they are going to do today for direct impact is WhatsApp. Then I'm sure later in the night they will send it to your email. So you're going to have the material of today. But you have to take notes since you don't have the material with you. I'm going to be focusing today on what we call self-leadership. Self-leadership. Another word for it is leading yourself. Leading yourself. There are different levels when it comes to leadership. The foundation of it all is self-leadership or leading self. The foundation for leadership development. In actual fact, those of us who are in the school of leadership, those of us who do research leadership, we're shocked to realize that we've been teaching leadership wrongly for decades. Yes, sir. Uncle Sam is like, what? It will shock you too, sir. We have been teaching people how to lead organizations, how to lead teams, how to lead other people, because that is the leadership construct that was given to us. Unfortunately, it now became very obvious that all these people that we're sending to lead teams, they go to lead teams and they end up failures. They go to lead organizations, they end up failures. They go to lead nations, they end up as failures. Some are put in leadership positions in church, again, they create problems. The question then became, if people are prepared to lead, why are they failing to lead? Why are the leaders of Enron? How many of you know about Enron? One of the powerful... Oh, fantastic. You're all good people here. How is it that you have Enron collapse because of the collapse of its leadership? Cadbury. As wonderful as Cadbury is, Cadbury began to run into problem because of what? Leadership. Bata. Where's Bata today? Because of what? Leadership. Churches closed down Because of what? Leadership. But who goes into position of leadership to fail? Nobody goes to lead in order to fail. Trust me, your current president did not come to lead to fail. He thought he was going to succeed at carrying out whatever his agenda was. Unfortunately now, he is meeting with what he did not envisage. Is that okay? Because many are prepared to lead others, many are prepared to lead nations, many are prepared to lead organizations who have not been taught how to lead themselves. So the failure of leadership at any level is as a result of the failure at self-leadership. I'm going to say that again. The failure of leadership at any level, listen, this for me is going to be the most transformative moment in your life's journey. This will show at home. The things you'll be learning here will show at home. It will show at work. Wherever you go to, locally and internationally, it will show. So it's a great thing you're doing for yourself by being here on Tuesdays. All right. So the failure of leadership at every level is because of failure of leadership where? I'm going to see if I get you. Failure of leadership where? At self-leadership. You fail at leading yourself. It's a matter of time you fail at leading organizations. Some of you know about Strauss Kahn. How many of you know about Strauss Kahn? IMF. You remember that guy? What was the problem, sir? He led IMF. There was no issue about him leading IMF. There wasn't a failure in leading IMF. Do you understand that? The failure was on moral grounds. He slept with a lady, a maid, a hotel attendant. Right? That's failure at what? Self-leadership. Samson, he failed again at what level? He will carry gates. He will kill people, destroy nations. But when it came to self-leadership, he failed. Many are still failing because they have not yet mastered self-leadership. Elijah, as powerful as Elijah was, the major problem of Elijah was the problem of, again, self-leadership. Just tell him now that you're about to kill him. Elijah will go into depression. I'm sorry, send somebody. Don't tell him. Don't show. Send somebody to tell him that you're going to kill him. He goes, Elijah will leave the organization. A nation. The pastor of a nation. Because that man single-handedly spoke and a nation came on its knees. He heard that Jezebel was after him. The man left his organization. He ran away. He left the church. He took off. In the next time we heard him talk, it was, "Oh God, take my life." Failure at what? How can a man who did so very well leading a nation fail at leading himself? And if you will look deeply, you will discover that one of your major problems also is the problem of leading yourself. We have too many failed self-leaders in Nigeria who are occupying leadership position. And you know what will happen? You will always replicate in public office the failure of your private life. You will hear things in this meeting. Today is just foundation. So you have to get a CD and listen to it again. You will replicate in the public space, in the public domain, the failures or the successes of your private life. That is why, sir, above all things, Master self-leadership, because you will soon export to the public what has been going on in your private life. Trust me, a man will not treat women differently in the public domain other than the way he treats his wife at home. You don't hear what I'm saying now. It's a matter of time. A man who shouts at his wife, a man who sees his wife as another object, just shut up, I'm talking, who are you to talk? He will talk to women like that. So you can literally tell how a man treats his wife at home by how he treats other women outside. You will export your private successes or failures to the public domain when it comes to leadership. So scripture puts it this way. It said, whatever is done in the secret shall be brought to what? To the open. Great leaders are brutal with themselves in the secret. I want to say that again. Great leaders are brutal with themselves in the secret and mild with people in the outside. Reverse is a case for a leader who is not working on himself. Leaders who are brutal with people outside are those who are very mild with themselves inside. Did you catch it now? If you see a Samson carrying jawbone of an ass, killing Philistines and all of that, he is applying less of it on himself. What you have not applied on yourself, you will not know how it hurts when you apply it on others. We've not started and you are looking already overdosed. Every touch of the verse to increase your capacity. So the first level of leadership is leading what? Self. The next level of leadership is leading others. The next level is leading leaders. The next level is leading teams. The next level of leadership is leading organizations. Is that okay? Look at those levels of leadership. Those are levels. We're not talking about the types, positional leadership, personhood leadership. Those are not the things we're dealing with right now. We're just looking at the levels of leadership as you rise in life. The first level you must master. Master leading yourself. Next thing you want to focus on mastering is master leading others. Others include your children, starting with your kids at home. Small group of people in your neighborhood, in your office. Master leading others. Because if you have not done well leading others, you can do well leading leaders. Because leading at all these levels require different skills. Leading yourself is one thing. Upon it, you build skills to lead others. Please, watch this carefully. You don't remove this one in order to lead this one. Because this one is going to be built on what you have mastered where. You build leading others on what you have mastered at leading who? Yourself. Then you come to leading leaders. That's a different ball game altogether. So here am I, Pastor Isaiah. Pastor Isaiah is the executive pastor for My Tema Church. Pastor Sunday is the executive pastor for Gwarimpa here. PJ is an executive pastor on his own. Pastor Johnson is an executive pastor on his own kada. You two, you are an executive coordinator of your own life. You know. So here's the game. As I'm seated right now, here is Sister Anita. She's a leader. She oversees an organization. I see my brother here. He is a leader in his own place. Dr. Paul is a leader. So you imagine the fact that this room is filled with what? And how is it that I am here leading leaders? It's a whole different skill set when it comes to leading leaders. You don't lead leaders like you lead others. Take note. That's the, oh God. PJ, the failure in leadership is that I go to lead others like I lead myself. And I want to lead leaders like I lead others. It doesn't work like that. That's why you run. There's nothing wrong with you. It's just that you didn't understand that you're supposed to build on something you did before and add new skills in order to succeed at something new. Once you begin to have sub-team leaders under you, your leadership style must change. So, Shegun, if you oversee the music department and you already have head of costume, head of welfare, you have all those heads, right? That's different from the music team you inherited when there was no leader amongst them. You were the only leader. At that point, you were leading others. But once you confer on anybody the status of a leader, their mentality and engagement rule changes. There's something in human beings, the moment you call them leaders, it changes the way they think. And it makes them to demand a different engagement from you than it was when they were not leaders. I don't know if you understand. Now, if you talk to them in a way, they'll now say, he's talking to me like that, and he knows I'm a leader. Something has happened to them. So if you do not go into these domains of leadership with the understanding that leading myself is the foundation for effective leadership, number two, that there's going to be a time when God will begin to give me room to lead others. Because if you are faithful at leading yourself, God will now begin to create room for you to lead what? I'm not hearing you now. God will create room for you to lead others. Now, as you become faithful at leading others, what will God do again? God will create room for you to start leading what? Leaders. Is that all right? Now, please, don't go to lead leaders with the skill set that you use in leading others. The domain has changed. Then when it comes to leading teams, meaning that you have a leader who oversees a team and another leader who oversees a team. So you are leading teams through the leaders who head the teams. Does that make sense? The leadership style for that also is different. You are the owner of your business. Is that okay? You have a fashion department, tailoring. Even in your fashion outfit, you have tailoring department. You have designs. Is that okay? You also have the social media, those who help you market your business. Is that okay? Then you may also have somebody who is in charge of security. Now, once you start having all those little groups and you have people under the person in charge of that group, your leadership style must change. Otherwise, you'll be the reason why your business will never grow. So the reason businesses are dying in Africa is because leaders don't know how to transit. Take note of that. I know as I'm talking right now, many of you are thinking about my business. Oh my God, oh, I can see where something is going wrong with my business. Okay, let me even give you an example. See, your children may not be teams, others, and all of that, but your children grow also into different domains. There was a time when it was only you leading yourself. All of a sudden, Junior came. Am I correct? David, he came. Aha. So, when David came, now I am leading what? Is that okay? My wife and I are leading what now? Other, because David has come in, Darylin came on board, so we're leading others now. After a while, my boy has now come into teenage. They have not multiplied in number, but he has multiplied in mindset. So my son no longer expects me to call him and say, David, go. No, you have to tell me why. Now, here is the problem. I've been used to giving him commands. When he was just what? Now the boy has moved into teenage where he needs explanation. Now if I don't learn how to explain, my assumption will be that explanation is making me look weak as a father. And I want to see my son at this level when he's already thinking like a leader. I'm going to be saying to him, listen, I'm commanding you. You don't ask me any question. Do what I've asked you to do. Rebellion will start at this point. So as kids also transit, they begin to eventually have their own gang. So David now, I notice, Pastor Isaiah's son, McRae, Pastor Adekunle's son, and I notice anytime they get into my Tamar church, there's a way they look at each other. Before you know, we are busy preaching, they are doing their own things. It's the gang. I'm trying to figure out who their gang leader is. Because you get the gang leader, you can get the gang. So at this phase now, I'm dealing with teens. These guys, each one of them, I've noticed that when they come to church, they seem to have their own influences exerted at different levels. Listen, it is dangerous for you to refuse to acknowledge that the people you are leading have shifted domains. Did you hear what I just said? It is dangerous for you not to acknowledge that the people you are leading have what? Shifted domains. It is dangerous for you not to acknowledge that your children are no longer the children of yesterday. Let me even shock you, sir. Even our wives, you know, when you married her, that innocent woman you paid dowry for, and you brought her home. Good morning, daddy. Good morning. Good morning. 25 years old. Good morning, daddy. Good morning, uncle. There's no name she has not called you. By me. You know. She's called you everything. Gradually, she starts coming into 30. Now she's beginning to look fuller than you married her. And now she's beginning to look at the mirror. Ha ha. Shame in ori. Now maybe this. Yes, maybe. And then God helping your wife. She now gets a good cosmetologist and a good hairstylist who now reshaped her and reintroduced her to herself. And mistakenly, she now went to work. And her oga began to make statements like, you are beautiful. And she look at his ranking and your ranking. Women know what I'm talking about. Am I correct? You know what I'm talking about. Sir, once your wife begins to get into 30, the danger is for you to want to be relating with her like the woman she was when she was just 25. When she turns 40, it's like there's one new thing that happens to them. Women, when women enter 40, it's like, be careful, don't talk to me like that too. Something just happens to the woman. Now, the danger is for you to ignore the fact that she has shifted domain. So let's go back. We said there are different levels or domains of leadership. Is that okay? The first domain is that of what? Self-leadership. The next one is what? Other leadership, or leading what? Others. The next domain is what? Leading leaders. The next domain is what? Leading teams. The next domain is what? Leading organization. Okay, so here's the game. Most times, sir, leading organizations include leading what? Nations, institutions. Is that okay? Here's where the problem happens, sir. We now have a situation whereby we have somebody who is a failed self-leader, but very skillful at leading others, maybe even very skillful at leading leaders, and you take him straight to the head of the organization. The problem you have with a leader who is good at leading at all this level, but has failed at this level, is that don't forget that failure in your private life will follow you to your what? Public domain. What you're going to have is that this will now become a gravitational pull, because leadership must equalize the leader. It doesn't matter who promotes you to a position of leadership. Whatever level of leadership you did not master, over time, leadership has a way of bringing you back to the level you did not master. So if you did not master leading others, see, leadership, the world of leadership will bring you back to the level you did not master. So you find people who have led organizations, and for some reasons, they perform woefully, some things happen, and before you know, finally, for those who did not master self-leadership, they go up here, moral scandal happen, brings them back where? So that they should come and attend to what? Yeah, it's the way it happens. Number two, if you rise to the top to lead a nation, this is normally what happens. If you rise to lead at a particular level, you will either amplify that level or you will want to shrink that level to fit where you belong. So if a man was only used to leading like maybe like a ranch with cows, now if you push that man up to lead an organization, why are you laughing? What's wrong? I don't understand. Why are you laughing? What did I say? What? Ma? Oh, the ranch. Yeah. It's an example, yeah? Okay. So if a man who was used to ranch, who is used to maybe just like cows, you just maybe like sheep, like goats and stuff like that, if you take the man up to lead a nation, you understand? Please remember David. They anointed him leading sheep. Is that okay? But remember, there was a period of time. Leadership, he was anointed to lead the nation. But the world of leadership shrunk him to begin first by leading himself well. Gradually, David began to lead others. Check David's leadership. It was a progressive growth. You will see that the first set of people that God brought to David, and I feel I should at this point prophesy to you as leaders. Some of us are feeling discouraged right now because we're in the stage that David was in. The first set of people God brought to David, sir, were vain men, halt, blind, rejected people, outcast, very, very, very funny people. The man was in trouble, they brought him troubled people. Here's the game. God was watching how he will lead others. Are you following? When God saw how he led others, when it was getting to the time for God to establish David, guess what? The Bible said God began to send to him captains of hundreds. God sent captains who are leaders in their own ranking, already established people who already even have influence more than David, so to say. God then began to bring them to him. God didn't bring them first. Sometimes you are praying for people, certain group of people to come to your life now that you are not qualified to handle. Sir, if a Fortune 500 person If a lady who is a CFO, CF, Chief Financial Analyst, if a CFA comes to your organization right now, what's she going to do? She wakes up in the morning. What does the organization have for her to do? So you don't need her now. We're talking about a certain position we want to fill up in church, so we want to recruit some persons. And I'll not forget what Pastor Shegu Sajibi said to me. He said, sir, certain qualifications that some people have, if they come now, we really don't need them. Because there won't be anything much for them to do. So God will bring others to you and see, Dr. Paul, how you handle others. Captains are coming, but God wants to see how you handle others. You will not always start with the people you desire. Take note of that. You will not always start with the kind of people you desire. Two, you will not always attract the kind of people you desire at first. This is where the frustration lies, sir. A lot of people are frustrated right now with the kind of people that they have attracted. They're angry. What kind of useless people are these? What kind of useless people? What are these people? Yeah? And you know, and you're like, God, why can't I have, you know, big, correct people come and stuff like that. And God is watching how you handle the maimed, the halt. God is watching how you handle the rejected to see if you are prepared. Because there are certain skill set. Oh God, let me say this way. You must never treat a leader like others. And you won't know the difference if you have never led others. Can I say that again? It is dangerous for God to bring leaders into your space when you have not learned how to deal with what? Otherwise, you will deal with leaders as what? As others. And it is the reason why leaders will not what? Stay. Because you are bringing them back to where they have left. We didn't start our church with the kind of people we are currently attracting. We didn't start our church with those kind of people. It was people like me. Myself and pastor. And the others came. We're all looking at each other's face. If there's any need for us to do anything significant, we behold the face of the Lord. But now, we're beginning to attract captains. Attract people from government. We begin to attract people from different strata of society. Now, whenever you begin to attract leaders, take note, you have already moved from the conception phase of your organization. You're already moving into the beginning of the establishment phase. Beginning. When God wants to begin to establish an organization, he begins to send leaders into that organization. People who have led at different levels. And why are they coming in? Please, they are not coming in so you can train them like others. They are coming so that they can add value to the organization. And the only way to make them add value is by recognition. That was why when they came to David, David, first of all, said, are you sure you came truly to me? Because he was shocked that this kind of leaders will come to me. And as soon as the Spirit of the Lord came upon the servant of the Lord, he said, thine are we. David accepted them and appointed them. Okay, let me not go into too many technical things today. So that's not the phase we're in. So don't forget that there are domains of leadership. Self-leadership, leading others, leading leaders. And then you have leading what? And what it takes to lead teams is different from what it takes to lead nations. Is that all right? So what we want to do today, for the moment that I have with you, is to focus on self-leadership. Failure to lead yourself privately is the reason why you will fail at leadership publicly. Let me define what self-leadership is. Take note of this. And I'm going to use the definition of the people who began to propagate the concept of self-leadership. And that's Andrew Bryant and Anna Kazan. They began to propagate the concept of self-leadership. So I will bring out their definition of leadership for you. They said, leadership, self-leadership, is the practice of intentionally influencing your thinking. Self-leadership is the practice of intentionally influencing your own thinking. Take note of that. Number two, your behavior. Number three, your feelings. Self-leadership is the practice of intentionally influencing your own thinking, your own feeling, your behavior, in order to achieve your objectives. So here is a game. We have three major variables here: your thinking, your feeling, your behavior. This is your goal. This is the goal that you have. Self-leadership is very critical in the accomplishment of goals. Here's the key. There are people who are very good at leading organizations, but poor at leading themselves. What you find out in the lives of those people is that because the rule at leading organization is not applicable to leading at home or leading yourself. So you find that organizationally they are successful. They're successful. They are commanding results in their organizations, but failing in their personal lives. Have you noted that? This confuses a lot of leaders. How is it that I am doing well at work and I'm failing at home? How is it that I'm leading people correctly in my office and I'm having a marital crisis with my wife at home? Because we do not understand that self-leadership, the concept undergirding it, you may need part of it when you're leading an organization, but it does not naturally translate. If you take the concept of self-leadership to lead an organization, you will reduce the organization to your private apartment. So if a leader becomes a leader of a nation and uses how he takes care of poultry and how he takes care of sheep and goats, if he brings that to the nation, he's going to reduce, every time he's looking at the nation, he's in a ranch, he's in a farm. Huh? He's just seeing cattle, he's seeing, you know, like that. So the policy will be cattle friendly, everything. I don't know why you're laughing, yeah. No, it happens. It happens in African countries. Yeah. Am I safe? All right. So watch this carefully. You can come to a big stage like this and reduce it to your small room. Because you came to a big stage with a small mind. And if you check what's been going on in our country, you keep wondering why we have a country where by the way, you have gold mixed up with laterites. They're all over the place. The mineral deposits we still have in this country, on the surface, quartz, they are all over in Ilora or Yoshun. Go down there, you find all the special stones that are there. And they are needed across the world.
But when you have people who are failed leaders in the private come to the public domain, most times they want to shrink the public space to their private place. They can't see in the public what they didn't see in the private. See, this thing on self-leadership is critical. In fact, right now as I speak with you, globally speaking, focus is now being turned towards self-leadership because we have suddenly realized that we have actually been operating with a wrong paradigm because we've been focusing on training people to become leaders of organizations, leaders of teams, leaders of this, leaders of nations, leaders of institutions. No emphasis on what? Self-leadership. Here's what I want to share with you. If you master self-leadership, over time you'll be on demand at different levels. Master self-leadership. Okay. Master self-leadership and you'll be on demand. There's nowhere a self-leader enters that over time the person will not be known. It's a matter of time you will be known. If you're a self-leader, you have mastered leading yourself. Enter a place is a matter of time. You don't need to seek for position. Your leadership will find expression. And if all you are seeking for is leading organization, is to lead teams, is to lead others, they put you there because of your failure in self-leadership, you will soon embarrass yourself there. The problem is that who wants to trust you again after you've messed an opportunity up? All right? So, self-leadership is the practice of intentionally influencing your own thinking, your feeling, and your what? In order to achieve what? Your personal goals or objectives. How many of you have goals? Great goals to accomplish this year. Wave it again. How many of you have big goals? Like, wave it to the Lord. You have big goals. I can see. How many of you have big goals? You had big goals in 2018. How many of you had big goals in 2018? No, 2018. You had big goals. Okay. How many of you have to push that goal over into this year so you can still continue pursuing it? Wait, God bless you. Wait. PJ, here's the game. The failure to accomplish our goals was because we failed at leading self. You didn't lead yourself well. That's why you did not accomplish your goals last year. Part of what you're going to learn today is a part of self-leadership is overcoming the obstacles that stand between you and your goals. Failure in leading self is the reason for failure in realizing goals. Yeah, you can write it, that's free. Failure in leading self is the reason for failure in realizing personal goals. You cannot ignore how you lead yourself and expect to accomplish your goals in the end of the year. I don't care to know how many gallons of oil were poured on your head. It may be a pope or a Reverend Sam that comes from the holy mountain and comes to lay hand on your head with the red coals of heaven. If you fail at leading yourself, you will fail at realizing your goals. So we do not have problems with actualizing goals. The problem we have is that of people leading themselves well. So take note of what I'm about to share with you now. Leading yourself is what nobody else can do for you. It's sad, right? I feel for you too. Leading yourself is what nobody can do for you. And if you fail to lead yourself, you will fail to see your goals come to pass every year. No prayer can take the place of self-leadership. No prayer will take the place of self-leadership. If you fail to lead yourself well, prayer will not correct the errors of failed self-leadership. The only way to correct the errors of self-leadership is to lead yourself well. Start leading yourself well. Josh, just start leading yourself well. Our current achievements in life are all a reflection of how we have led ourselves, period. Not how witches have attacked us. I should come again. Did they record that one? If I come again, you will not buy the CD. Failure to lead ourselves well has always been the reason why we've not been able to reach our goals. Not because witches are prevailing. No. Julius Berger built bridges on top of witches. They came there, they said, you are inside this water, and they put bridge on top of the witch. And the bridge is still standing. Mami water, mami bridge. The bridge is on ahead. Why? Is that they have a goal. And they led themselves well. They have accomplished it. We say there are principalities and powers in the air. They have not stopped rockets from going to space. The rocket will just pass in their front like that. They will back off. When they see superior thinking, you are not hearing what I'm saying. When they see superior thinking and superior engagement of the human mind, even a witch knows where to back off. Even Jehovah God said to himself, when I see the human mind so engaged that they have a goal and they are committed to it, even God said, look, this they have begun to do, nothing. It became, you are not catching him. When God said, nothing shall be denied them, which they have what? Imagine, on that day, we don't know that God established what is called the law of imagination. God establish the law of imagination. That is why up till tomorrow, sir, whatever human beings imagine, your prayer can't stop it. Even if it's against God, nothing stops it. It's called the law of imagination. Unbelievers are using it so very well. Let me ask you a question. Where is God and they're building Dubai? How comes Israel is still struggling with some shanty buildings? Why don't you have Burj Khalifa in Israel? Why do you, in Jerusalem? Why do you have Burj Khalifa in Dubai? Limited imaginations. And where Jews expressed their minds, they succeeded without God. Because the Jewish people have walked away from God. So when they come up with concepts and commit themselves to it, they achieve results. The problem with us in Africa is that we pray, we don't think. We don't engage our minds in productive thinking. And even where we do, we come up with creative concepts, we do not apply our thinking, feeling, behavior towards accomplishing that. Some of us have thought well, but you felt bad. That's why what you thought about never became a reality. There is no spine. We call it a spine. There is no spinal alignment between thinking, feeling, and behavior. There's no congruency between the way you think, the way you feel, and the way you behave. Your actions. Behavior here speaks of corresponding action in line with feeling, aligned with thinking. So you have come up with a good goal, but your thinking is, listen, your goal is in this direction, your thinking is in the opposite direction. And even where your thinking is in the direction of your goals, here you are. I woke up this morning. Wake up, oh yeah, carry a Bible. Add one more chapter to your book. You said your goal this year is to write 4 books, Abi. That's your goal. Now, so you already have thought clearly, I'm going to write these 4 books. Fantastic. Then you now wake up. I don't know, I'm feeling funny. You know, people outside, it's like it's going to rain today. That's what the Bible says concerning that man, that he came out and said he's not going out because there's a lion on the street. There's no lion, no. In his mind, there's one. And because of that, that man did not go out. How many of us have failed to accomplish our goals because we did not align our feeling and thinking and behavior together? A house divided against itself shall not stand. You are too scattered. You are not together. You as a person. Your thinking is this way. Your feeling is the other way. Your behavior is in another direction. That's why the goal has been staring at us. We will come to the end of December again and say, oh my God. And then there are still people who are accomplishing their goals with minimum prayer. Because why? They have a spine. They've aligned their thinking, their feeling, and their behavior. Everything is in alignment. It's called self-leadership. And if you are not the type who can bring all of this together, and let me say this, you can't tell who actually has all of this together by looking at people outside. But what you want to do is at the end of the year, look at who has accomplished what. If you are the type that has a last year that is better than this year, something is wrong with your self-leadership. I have never desired a year before. And thank God I have men who are here. There's never been a year before in all my years in this city. Never been a year where the previous year was better than the one after. Never been one. I was talking to one of my pastors. And he said, Pastor, he said, the way you appear in the public is totally different from who you are inside. I said, I just simply watch what I accomplish. You know that if I stand and playing with you and all of that, I know what I'm out for. Because at the end of the year, where's MK? Last year, by November last year, I said to MK, everything I wanted to accomplish in 2018, I said, well, everything was accomplished December last year, November last year. Everything I wanted to accomplish last year, much more than I dreamt of, was accomplished last year. The things I want to accomplish by the first quarter of this year is already done. It's already accomplished by the end of January. It's about training your mind, your feeling, your thinking and behavior, training them to work together. Happy is the man who is together. For great shall be the accomplishment of such a person. Happy is the person who is together. Because to gather is not together. You can gather and not be together. And there are many of us who look gathered, but you are not together. What is self-leadership? Now listen, take note of this. Self-leadership is your own capacity to influence your human will. So there's a new thing being introduced here. Your human will is another definition of self-leadership. Your own capacity to influence your human will, your feelings, your actions, your thoughts, in order to achieve your life's objectives and your God-given assignment. Now, this will require that you have a developed sense of who you are. It will require that you have a developed sense of who you are. Number two, it will require also that you have a developed sense of what you can do.
what you can do. Number three, where you are going to. Please take note of this now. We are saying that self-leadership is your own ability to influence four things are emerging now. Can anyone mention the four things that have so far emerged? Four things you must influence if you are going to accomplish your goals in life. Number one is what? Huh? Your thinking. Number two, feeling. Number three, your behavior. Number four, your will. Will what you think. Will what you feel. If you feel like you need to do it, will it to do it. Because feeling won't get it done until you will it. Willing is where action comes in. Willing drives behavior. What you will, you behave. What you will, you act. So self-leadership has to do with how you feel, how you think, how you behave, and how you will in order to accomplish the goals that are before you. Now, if you are going to function in the domain of self-leadership, you need to know who you are. Things you must know if you are going to be effective in carrying out this particular thing we're talking about that has to do with self-leadership. You need to know who you are. That has to do with self-mastery. You need to know who you are. I'll be expanding on that in our subsequent class. Number two, you need to know what you can do. That is not arrogant. That's not arrogance. It is not humility for you to deface yourself. You know, I am nothing but a worm. Really. Sir, if you know why. It's shocking to realize this. You know why the church, why have you noticed that mostly it is when people leave the church that they create amazing things? Because there's something in the church, the theologies we hear, you know, who are you? You know, we are nobody. We are nothing but sinners, we are but worms. And you know, we are going to die very soon. It's a short life. You know, so all those kind of theology that we propagate makes somebody ask, okay, why am I stressing myself? Hey, I'll soon be leaving this world. This world is not my home. I'm just passing by. Our treasures are laid up somewhere behind the blues. Angels welcome me. And heaven's open door. And I just feel at home in the world anymore. Ah, this world is not my home. Eku, start crying. Start crying. What's that crying? And God is looking at us in a pitiable way. We just wear boo-boo skirt, the silk, round neck. If it was left to the church, we won't have fridge. TV. The devil's vision. We won't have decoders. And here we are. We are the greatest beneficiary of them. Isn't it funny to know that what we will say is, you remember there were I was part of it, oh, that movement. In the days of deliverance. Does anybody remember Emmanuel Eni? Deliver from the power of darkness. Anybody remember Sister? Eh? Rebecca Brown is another one. There were Nigerian ones. Eh? Occult Grandmaster. Anybody remember those ones? Now, listen. And then all of that was going on, and then we had the message going on from the church, rapture will soon happen. Eh? That the rapture will in fact take place on so and so date.
1992, rapture was coming. He kept shifting goals. Later, when it did happen, you know. And people left University of Ife, first class brains. They left, nobody could convince them, they left the university. Today, so many of their lives are useless. And they have left God. Because they feel disappointed. So the church does not engage. We are a consumer community. We don't create, we consume. We criticize what is being created, but when it starts working, we consume it. Then we share the grace. We now say, look, God is going to use it. Please, help me look at your neighbor and say, Jesus is coming very soon. Now tell the person, until he comes, we need to do something here. He is coming very, very soon. And I promise you, he's coming. All the signs of time are pointing to the fact that he will soon come. But until we see him, we need to get things going on here. Do you understand what I'm saying now? And for those of you that are like, oh, very soon I will be going home. I'm going to heaven. Heaven is my home. Heaven is not your home. You are coming back here. So your home. I saw a new Jerusalem in heaven descending, new earth descending from. You are coming back here. You only go and stay close to God for a while, and you come back where you belong. Engage your self leadership begins with thinking, feeling. It begins with behavior and your will. Is that all right? Okay, let's get going. See what we have left. Self-leadership means guiding yourself with gentleness, humility, and compassion throughout your daily existence. Guiding yourself with humility and compassion throughout your daily existence. Self-leadership. Self-leadership includes your ability to influence your own communication. This is so powerful. So here's our goal again. Here you are. This is where you're going to. We have established that your thinking is critical. Your feeling is critical. Your behavior is critical. Your will is critical. Now listen, self-leaders, there's something they do. They influence, number one, their communication, how they talk. Many of you are now going to see where you've always gone wrong at attacking people who are self-leaders. I used to attack that way too, until I began to learn. That's the way God functions. Is that okay? I'm going to show you something right now. So they influence their own communication. They influence their own emotions. Self-leaders don't allow their communication to happen accidentally. They are intentional in the way they talk. Self-leaders are intentional with what they say. Number two, self-leaders guide their emotions. They are mindful of what comes to their mind and what happens to their mind. They use what we call sensors. They censor thoughts. So the Bible will tell you in Philippians chapter 4 verse 8, if there be anything that is honest, righteous, pure, lovely, think on those things. What the Bible simply tells you is that we are giving you a framework for thinking. Anything that doesn't fall within this framework, jettison it. If it's not pure, it's not lovely, it's not this, it's not that, get rid of it. Meaning you have to take control of how you think. And is this the game? Self-leaders are masters at censoring their thoughts. They have mastered how they censor their thoughts. That's why there are some statements you don't make in the front of some self-leaders. When you start talking, they will either cut you short, they will change the conversation, because their minds cannot be allowed to receive such information. That's what the Bible puts it this way. Guard your heart with what, sir? That's self-leadership. Who will do that for you, sir? That self-leadership is your responsibility. One of the beautiful things about self-leaders is that they are highly responsible. They never abdicate control to other people. They don't blame other people for their own failures. Self-leaders take responsibility for how they think. Two, they take responsibility for what they think about. Wow. So, please take note of the three things that self-leaders guard. And I will stop here today. If you have questions, you can ask me. Self-leaders, they are very protective of how they speak. One of the rules that governs the conversation of self-leaders is that they always talk about what doesn't exist as though it does. Now, somebody who does not understand self-leadership will consider that to be arrogance. For the person who is not a self-leader, he don't forget that self-leaders must talk their way to their... You didn't catch what I just said. Self-leaders must talk their way to their what? The problem with those who are not self-leaders and don't understand self-leadership concept is that they will look at the goal that the self-leader is talking about and will say, I can't see it in your life, but you're only talking about it. Not knowing that to get to the goal, the self-leader must talk himself into it. Are you getting what I'm saying now? No light, darkness all over the face of the earth. Self-leadership, let there be. That's how self-leaders talk. Is that okay? That's how self-leaders talk. They call those things that be not as a what? They use words to work. They use words to do what? So they go to work with what? Before they begin to work without words. They go to work with words before they begin to work without words. They declare outcomes before they get into the place of activity. That's why David, self-leader, David brought self-leadership to meet Goliath. He looked at Goliath, he said, let me tell you the outcome of this battle. Today, I'm just telling you the outcome. I'll take off your head from your shoulder, so I'll take off your head. And I'm also going to give it to the birds of the air. They may not be around, but they are coming. So I will feed that to them. And the Lord will deliver your army to me. That's talk. How did Goliath weaken the army of Israel? Self-talk. Is that okay? Self-leadership. He is their leader. He understands the concept. Communication. They intentionally craft their words to war. The issue is that for many of us who are self-leaders in the making, you have not yet mastered the use of your words before you go to war. You talk carelessly and you wonder why you don't get the kind of results you want. You speak negatively and yet you want a positive outcome. You want to live healthy, but you're talking about sickness. There's one man in this country that I was not comfortable with him. One of the men of God that I now respect so very well. I think it was too much. Bishop Oyedepo. What? But later I started listening to someone like Pastor Chris, and I go to Pastor Chris was talking about the fact that when they were in Benin, whilst he was leading campus fellowship. Pastor Chris said he started talking about the fact that they will be on global something, satellite television, that they'll be around the world. And so we were looking at him saying, look at this guy. At that time, Pastor Chris was falling sick regularly. He was usually very sick. And then he'll be saying that he believes in the power of God, that the power of God will heal the sick. Listen, you are sick. Today he is living in the reality of his communication. Death and life, they are in the power of the tongue. Watch this. The Bible says, you shall eat what? Wait. That is my concern. You will eat what? Wait. When did you sow the seed? Get it right. See the game? The Bible says what you will eat of is the fruit of what you sow. So when you were speaking, you were seeding. Actually, you are eating the fruit of the seeds you have sown with your mouth. Burj Khalifa, Dubai. Sir, before Dubai was built, it was spoken. They said, we will build a tourist attraction center in the middle of the desert and that we will stop traffic here. They understand it. They said it and they've seen it. They walk towards it. That's going to take us now, because if you talk and you don't move to the next phase, which is guarding your emotions. Your emotions includes your what? Your feelings. If you speak and you allow the things you see after you said what you said, the danger is that how you feel will make you cancel what you said. Self-leadership is a science. It's an art. And you have to master it. I have taught leadership. I would have loved to start talking to you about 21 laws of irrefutable leadership. And after we have learned all the law, now it's not that we are practicing the law, we are crumbling. Because we don't understand the fundamentals. In fact, self-leadership now has been considered to be the basic requirement for leadership development at all levels. There's a book by Pastor Deulu has been able to download it. So we're also going to send that to you free of charge. Is available. Listen. Don't be excited about that. You will read the book between now and next week. What happened? Today is Tuesday, am I correct? So we'll be meeting again next what? So by next week, I expect that you should have covered at least 5 chapters of that book. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Make a small note on everything. You are free to do it. I will not put any burden on you. If you pass, you fail. Make a small note on what you have learned. The first 5 chapters of that book between now and that next week. Make some notes and then make sure you send it to us through the WhatsApp link. We're creating a WhatsApp link. We just bought for you a phone dedicated to TLA. And we're creating a WhatsApp group for all of us. So a lot of conversation will be going on. Does that make sense? So please take note of that. All right. So the last thing I want to say is this. Self-leaders, intentionally, they mind their communication, what they say. Because if they will get to their goals, it must first flow from their mouth. Why is speaking necessary? So it's been found out that once you say a thing, that you will do this thing, it activates certain neurons, hormones in your body. It aligns you and aligns the forces of nature in your favor. If you speak life, you attract life. Okay, so take note. Your words. Number 2, your emotions. Thank God we're going to be having another class here on emotional intelligence. So there's going to be a class for that. Your emotions. Lastly, your behavior. These 3 things, you must work on them. Your behavior has to do with your actions,
your will, everything must work together. Self-leaders have things as fundamental things they don't play with. And if you're going to be a self-leader who qualifies to lead others, who eventually will be able to lead what? Leaders. And lead what? Teams. And lead what? Organizations. If you're going to do that and you don't want to fail at any of those levels, it is critical that you start giving attention to your thinking, your what? Your feeling, what next? Your behavior and your what? And you must become very, very focused on how you what? And then make sure you master your what? Your emotions, and then you watch your... If these things are not together, if these things are not together, you can set another goal this year, you will not get there. It's not like a curse, because all of these have to come together for you to get to where you're going to. I'm going to be taking you a little bit deeper into the whole concept of self-leadership from next week. I'll be showing you the five major pillars that influences the whole concept of self-leadership, self-mastery, self-efficacy, self-confidence. I'll be dealing with all those things, self-management, how those things work together to make the most successful people to be as successful as they are. A Mark Zuckerberg became successful without a Facebook company. Are you catching that? Because he was what? A what? A self-leader. Are you getting what I'm saying? Larry Page and his friend, they started their little stuff in their little corner. There was no big office and all of that. They led their organization out of the office into the big space that it is today through WhatsApp. Self. Every successful entrepreneur has always started as a successful self-leader. Businesses die because self-leaders fail. When you fail at leading yourself, you fail at building a business. Take note of that. If you fail at leading yourself, you fail at building a successful business. You fail at leading yourself, you fail at leading a church. That's why the Bible says that if anybody is going to lead the house of God, he must have first of all been someone who has led well in his own house. Self-leadership. Self-leadership. Because of our time, I'd like to stop here. Thank you so very much for your time. Yeah. All right. Any question before I exit? Anything that I said that is of great concern to you? Something you want to ask me about self-leadership today? I'll be more than willing to attend to at least the first two questions, if there be any of such today. Questions from anyone on self-leadership, the things that I've mentioned. You want to ask a question? Go on. Okay. I'll come to you. Yeah. Okay, so, can I have you, sir? Come. Who else is asking a question? No, okay, I would have loved you to come out because of the camera guys, but that's okay. John also, so give him a microphone. All right. Yeah, go ahead.
Praise God. I want to ask quick, so you made mention of... I didn't come early, but something you struck that got my mind. Like, to come to a stage as a leader, you start leading existing leaders.
Yes.
Now, the problem I personally have had there, because I've encountered such, is having existing leaders who comes not maintaining the already laid down ethics you've already put down, but coming with what they know to conflict what you already believe. So how do you handle such kind of people? All right. Some people will say you don't like bringing people who are much smarter than you into what you do so that they won't overtake you, some sort of. But I believe working with people who are much, much smart so right. We can achieve greater results.
Yes.
But at some point, you might want to get such kind of people and you end up ending into conflicts or maybe having some different mindsets over achieving one goal. So the question is, how do you handle such leaders when they come into your circle.
Thank you so very much. So that's actually been an issue. The major things are ultimately is for you to create what we call a leadership funnel in your organization. Is that okay? You either create what we call a leadership funnel or what we call a leadership pipeline. Is that okay? Now, you are a smart leader for always thinking about bringing people on board who are better than you are. That's really being smart. And never go for less. Is that okay? Always make sure you bring around you people who are better than you are. There's no point having your duplicates within your space. Is that okay? Because that's going to be replicating your strength, and it should be also amplifying your weakness. If everybody around you are people who are equally as you are. So what you want to do is to bring smart people who are better than you are. Like right now, I mean, it doesn't just make sense for me to be having a pastor around me now to help me handle issues that have to do with human resource. You understand that? Because we'll be quoting scriptures. So when it comes to also draft processes, policies, we'll bring Bible, we'll quote Bible there. So what I need now is, if I find in a pastor a human resource personnel, an officer, who can handle that job, not as a pastor, meaning if he's going to function as an HR, he cannot function as an HR and a pastor. In that office, he ceases to be a pastor. The question is, who is going to have that kind of conflict of role? So I better look for somebody who is an HR person, who is really ready to do an HR job, who is better than I am when it comes to that kind of job. Now, here's the point. When people begin to come on board, there's something that I was not exposed to. I was not exposed to it, and nobody taught us. We were taught on leadership, organizational, whatever. So we learned how to recruit, but there was something we were not taught. And of course, bigger corporate organizations do that. It is called onboarding. It goes from recruitment to settlement. Trust me, this is where things go wrong. So you employ somebody into your organization, like those smart guys. Is that okay? The problem with smart people is that who have worked in some other organization, check this, they usually come from that organization with what they call what? Culture. Is that okay? Your job is to make sure when you're taking them through the leadership funnel or the pipeline, you culturate them. And if you're going to culturate them, you deculture them. Now, church don't like doing that. It's a very sympathetic organization. We don't want to make you feel like where you were before was not good. But churches who have made significant progress, that's the first thing they do. They deculture you. And they culturate you. And before they put you in significant office, they want to see that you have started imbibing and exhibiting the culture of the house. So I would say to you, sir, if you work in that kind of an organization and you have smart people coming in, you need to go and learn about onboarding, create an onboarding process. Your HR should be able to do that. And as soon as the people are coming in from recruitment, before they get into the job space, you want to take them through a process. Is that okay? Where you begin to let them understand what your culture is, what your visions are, values, very important, most importantly, values. That's where actually you shift perspective. Is that okay? For instance, we're going to be having some people joining our church as staff. They'll be joining us between now and next week. And the first thing we are focusing on now is actually onboarding. It's not just come and resume office and sit down there and start. No, it's going to be onboarding. And one of the things that I even forgot to tell my people is that day before yesterday, I had to come up with an onboarding process and procedure that will now govern even teams in the church. So that teams want to get people on board, you know how to onboard a person. From pre-boarding to boarding, that makes a total onboarding process. We didn't know that. You understand that? But again, that's the beauty of growth. You grow, you get to learn, and you're like, wow, why did I do things the way I did them before? So I'll encourage you, please. This is where you work. Culturate them. Smart people are wonderful. They take your organization to the next level. The problem generally is that they may take them to a level that is totally away from the culture of the house. So they're going to have results, but the kind of results you want. Or they may have the kind of results you want, but not the way you would have wanted that result to be. They will achieve the result hurting too many people. Is that okay? There are people who are very, very work conscious, get result minded, but check this. It must always be results plus what? Relationship. Most times, smart people, very nice people, always achieve results without what? And that's your Uncle Trump. You know one man called Trump? He doesn't care. For Trump, the only thing that matters is what? Huh? And for Trump, if you are somebody who is relationship-minded and is not seeing results, you are what? A fire. So if you notice when he was coming on board as president, the common complaints were that as far back as 1970-something, people were showing up to talk about how we hurt them, how we hurt their fathers, how we used them, how we dumped them. He has come on board again in the nation. Within a short time, look at the number of turnovers we've had. People who have come and have had their careers messed up. People who had significant, beautiful career before they came on board to either serve his government. If not for the fact that someone like General Flynn came to serve him, General Flynn would not be having a case of prison today. He would have just said quietly, America would never have dealt with his own case. You understand that? And as soon as he notices you are not producing results for him anymore, the next thing, he turns against you and begins to criticize you. Because he's a results guy. That's all. Just result. No relationship. Is that okay, sir? You got what you want? Fantastic.
Good evening, sir. Welcome, sir. My question is quite straightforward. I know it's something everybody knows, but how do you keep the fire burning in these things? Because many times we know what you said about it, but sometimes you don't just seem to be able to be consistent in following these things.
Yeah.
Maybe some things just come up, job, and your time is gone and all that. So how do you keep to this plan of always leading yourself in the face of so many things, especially when sometimes you just seem to lose the strength?
Yeah. Now I get that. How many of us think that that's a major thing, being able to lead ourselves? All right, so why don't you clap for him for asking the question? John, if I tell you that that's an easy thing, trust me, I'm just joking. Is that okay? But I've found out over the years how to keep myself on that track. Number one is never to play with revisiting your goals every 26 days. God, why am I saying this now? Okay, so you know. Self-leadership. All right, so never play with this, sir. Goals. Here you are. Always remember the case of Jacob, who wanted to alter the pigmentation of the sheep. What did he do? He put the poplar right before the face of the sheep, so that every time they come to drink, they are looking at it. Is that okay? You become what you behold. Trust me, for many of us who have not accomplished our goals, you will agree with me. After you set the goal, you walked away. You don't read it again. So the fire dies out when you don't have wood. See, every time you read it, you are supplying wood. Every time you read your goal, you are supplying wood. And where there is no wood, the fire will, it will go out. It will go out. So the first thing I want to say is that always go through your goals every 26 days. Here's what I'm going to encourage you to do. If you have a phone, you have an iPad or something, find a way to put it where you can easily see it. There are some devices you can use, actually, some apps now you can use that will really help you in that regard. Is that okay? If you really have issues with that, all of you, myself and Ken, we've created quite a number of tools. Some of you are already using some of those tools. You can actually get to see Ken. You can download some of the tools. We're going to be uploading them on our church website. There's a new website we're coming up with now, and that's been sent us a day before yesterday. So all the tools, you can download them and use them. Is that okay? Yeah. So number one, you want to make sure that you go through them 26 days. Is that okay? Number two, you want to create what I call a support system. Number three, you want to create an accountability relationship. Who knows about what you want to accomplish? Someone you respect and you can't afford to fail before. Who knows about this goal? The reason why the goal dies is because it's only you that knows about it. But you imagine, John, you know, you and I, you imagine you tell me that, Pastor, I'm going to accomplish this year. How do you come to church knowing that you've not accomplished it? And knowing who I am, how would you survive, not accomplish it? I mean, tell me how you will survive not accomplishing your goals when you see me accomplishing mine. And I can tell you, that's why I run into trouble with some people. Papa will fire you up, so they avoid me. And I only hope we had fired ourselves up. Because by running away from being fired, we have created too much gap among ourselves. You need to create a support structure around you. People that will make sure that when your own fire is dying out, they loan you their own. People that you talk about your dreams with. People that you're not jealous of each other. What are you doing? You know, so I call Pastor Sunday. Pastor, what are you? I mean, Pastor is like, he's like, wow. Really, that's what you're doing. So I call someone like Pastor Godman. Pastor Goji, what are you doing? Pastor Sam, this is what he's trying to do. I'm like, yay. There's something called righteous envy. Yeah, where God just exposes you to the achievement of somebody so that you can wake up. It's called righteous envy. That one is God that will make you to see somebody around you succeeded. You can't close your eyes. Even if you close your eyes, what you've seen will still be in your face. Is that okay? So create a support structure. Very important. Get some people in your space. They don't have to be your peers. People are a little bit above you, a little bit. Is that okay? That you can talk with. Then for the accountability system, you want to make sure that you have somebody that is way beyond you. Somebody that you honor and you revere. For instance, Bishop Abioe called me in 2017 and said, what's going to be your goal? He said, I want you to go and run in 2018 like you've never run before. So I told him what I'm going to accomplish in 2018. Guess what, sir? January, he called me. He said, Sam, how far? I said, Daddy, I'm okay. You know. So I avoided him. So myself and Bishop Abioe didn't see each other throughout last year until June. Why? I cannot appear before him to be saying, Daddy, I came to see you again. There are some new problem in my heart. That's absolute irresponsibility. When you return to your mentor, it is to go and discuss how much progress you've made with what he told you last time. That's why now I'm cutting off some people. We've created a new form in my office. You can't just wake up now and be inspired to come to my office. Papa, I just felt like coming to you. You know, last time when I came, I was happy when I left you. I'm not looking for people that will be happy anymore. You come to my office, we'll talk about something. The next time you're coming, we're pulling it down from the net. And I'm going to pull back. You are entering my office, I'm pulling it down on my laptop. My last conversation with you. What did you do? You're not going to ask me for anything new if you've not done what we talked about last time. Period. Because that's not how I waste my mentor's time. I don't. I reward them with results. So they are inspired to share more. Is that okay? So that's why I can... Reverend Sam Adeyemi called me. He said, Sam, he said, I want you to go and set up a platform. Start leadership training. That's why I can call him. And Reverend Sam is going to be here in April. You understand that? Now, listen. I can call him. He said, I'm going to be coming from Atlanta just to be with you. Bishop Abioe will say, look, I'm going to join you. He said, you make me feel that what we are doing in Living Faith is no longer a miracle. I mean, it's no longer a magic. He said, there are people I spend time with. He said, when I'm talking to them, I'm feeling drained. He said, when I'm talking to you, I feel inspired. And he can go on for 2 hours. Why? Because I come back with what, sir? As I sit with those people, it's not a good thing, no. They will fire you, eh? Go! Go and walk like you will die. And I almost died last year.
You know what he asked me in December? He said, did you die? December, Bishop asked me, he said, did you die? I said, no. He said, how many churches did you end up in 2018 with? I said, we have three. He said, what if you have started like this earlier? What if I've been with someone like him, firing me up earlier? And there are many of us, you won't accomplish what you have the potential to accomplish because you hate to be stretched. You can accomplish so much. What you hate is you hate being made uncomfortable.
I beg you, you don't start again.
In fact, some of you call it motivation. Yes, they are motivating me. They are inspiring me. And you never begin anything without being inspired. It all begins with an inspiration. So I wish you the best. Is that okay? These three other things we can talk about later. Thank you so very much. God bless you.